What's up, guys? It is Wednesday, February 19th. We're in the midst of the cold, cold winter. We're in the midst of the break in NBA action. We have one more night until the season kicks back off after the All-Star break. So we have a little bit of a dead time, a little bit of a look into life without football. You know, we have the XFL going on right now. If that's football to you, cool. To me, it's really not. If it's not one of the major four, I don't really have a lot of appetite for it. But still wanted to get into you guys with just me, a little bit of content for you. But with that said, it's only me tonight. So much like the likes of Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, I'm breaking off. I'm going solo. I'm going to touch on the four major sports still. A little bit of a Detroit talk on all of them because we are from Michigan. But we'll branch off into some other things as well. With that being said, we'll jump right into it. In NFL news, the big time Detroit talk is, should the Lions replace Matthew Stafford with Tua? And I don't often get into numbers big time on this podcast because I'm not a numbers guru. I'm a sports feel guy. Played a lot of sports. Not very good with numbers. Not very bright in that regard. However, I do have a few concrete numbers that are really telling about what I think about this situation. Matthew Stafford has played 149 games for your Detroit Lions. He's thrown for over 41,000 yards, over 255 touchdowns, 256 to be exact. The big number with Tua is one, and that is one horrific injury. He's coming off, you know, this big hip injury at Alabama, looking like probably the better part of a season's worth of rehab. Now, that's a huge red flag for any team that's rebuilding, any team that wants to win. I mean, we don't know. Before this injury, Tua was slated to be the guy, you know, the number one pick. Everybody was losing for him just to have a chance to draft him. Now, this one injury changes. He slid down draft boards. Granted, a slide from 1 to 3, not very drastic if you're Tua. But, you know, obviously you don't want to have the injuries if you don't have to. All this said, what a huge gamble on a player. You know, this career, this type of injury derailed the careers of the likes of Bo Jackson. You have a guy who's thrown for 41,000 yards, all these touchdowns. You know, he's been synonymous with the Lions for the last, you know, over a decade. You think Detroit Lions, you think Matthew Stafford. You know, those first few years, maybe didn't go so great. He's got a little bit of a glass body, you know. All that being said, there's a few other numbers that I'd like to throw at you, too. If you were to take tonight's Fantasy 5 jackpot in Michigan, $100,000. The current jackpot for the Lotto 47, $1.1 million. The Powerball is $50 million. The Mega Million is $50 million as well. If you're to add those all up, and you were to hit those tonight, this week, you would not have half of Matthew Stafford's career projected earnings with this contract. $262 million career earnings from the Detroit Lions thus far, or what we have committed to Matthew Stafford in the next few years of his contract. Now, that's a hefty, hefty price to pay. Now, I'm not saying Matthew Stafford isn't worth it, because market always dictates the value of a player, regardless of what everybody wants to say. Oh, he's overpaid, he's over this, he's over that. Well, outside of the cap number, which is more of a mismanagement of the team, that's actually a pretty fair number. I mean, where he sits at, I mean, at $32 million of a cap hit this year, really, with the level of play he's had in the last few years, it's fine. It's no big deal. I get it. Like, the market always inflates quarterback value. When it's your time to get paid, you're going to be overpaid, because unless you're Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson, you're overpaid. It's just, that's just how the market sets a position. However, those guys, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Russell Wilsons of the world, like I said, they're never overpaid. You talk about Matthew Stafford, there's a large contingent that says he is. Now, where do I stand on this? Personally, I think the formula in the NFL today is pretty simple. And this is not me hating on Matthew Stafford. Love Matthew Stafford, have supported him forever. I think he's a great quarterback. However, he is not Patrick Mahomes. He is not Russell Wilson. You can win games because of Matthew Stafford, but sustaining winning seasons because of one player, Matthew Stafford, there's only a handful of those guys in the league. And if you don't have the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilson, I guess you could lump Deshaun Watson in there, Tom Brady circa, you know, early 2010s. If you don't have that guy, you're looking for that guy. And if you don't have that guy, you have to have everything be right surrounding the guy who's leading your franchise. So, yeah, that's to say, like, Big Cat from Barstool Sports, part of my take, uses a guy as a confetti quarterback. Can you close your eyes and picture Matthew Stafford being the confetti raining on him, Super Bowl champion? Yeah, you know, I probably could, but not with the Detroit Lions. And why is that? That's not fault of Matthew Stafford. That is fault of entirely the poor construct around Matthew Stafford in Detroit. I think he's a perfectly capable quarterback. He can make every throw. He's exceptional with his arm strength. You know, he's committed to the team. He wants to win. However, Martha Ford, Matt Patricia, are these the type of people around? Have they shown that they can take talent and win with it? No. So what's it going to take for Detroit to win on the football field? You know, bring a title home to Ford Field. What's it going to take? It's going to take that generational once-in-a-lifetime talent. And Matthew Stafford, while very capable, while very great, I just don't know that he's the type of quarterback, the type of level to bring you up an entire tier. One guy elevate your entire franchise to a point where put the team on my back this week, it's me. And yeah, he's capable. I mean, he has games where it's like, wow, they probably win that game because of Matthew Stafford. But every single week you go into a Kansas City Chiefs game knowing, okay, I don't care what defense he's playing. I don't care who's out for him on offense. They're putting up 400 yards of passing and four touchdowns today because it's Patrick Mahomes. Matthew Stafford, that's not always the case. Can that be the case with Tua? Before this injury, I think everyone pretty well knows that, yeah, this was the type of guy who's capable of that in the long term. That's a guy you're looking at like Joe Burrow. Yeah, like we probably think he can do that. It's not easy to find that guy. But why bide more time, waste more time going 4-12, 3-13, picking in the top three of the draft anymore? If you're the Lions, you've shown inept at building a roster around a capable quarterback. You're going to need something that's just overly generational. I mean, we've messed up generational talent. You think about Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson retiring early. Like, this isn't a Matthew Stafford problem. Matthew Stafford's great, but he's not generational win games in spite of his franchise good. And when you're from Detroit, you better be that good where you can win games in spite of your franchise, because when the chips are down, we fold. Our organization does not support, you know, moderate to good talent in the right ways. We waste it. So unless we're going to be carried, we need someone who's ready to come in and carry a franchise. Now, I don't even know that Tua wants to be the guy to come save Detroit, nor should anybody have to bear that pressure. But the guy who's going to win us a Super Bowl needs to be that level player, that type of guy who's going to come in and say, yeah, I'll save the city. Yeah, I'll do the job. And again, this isn't a knock on Matthew Stafford. This is just me saying, Matthew Patricia, Martha Ford, the dirty Detroit M's, we're just not capable of winning it without someone who's going to do the job for us. And I know that that's asking a lot of any young player, but why wait any longer? And why be comfortable at 10-6 being a phenomenal season? I know that it's the NFL, it's hard to win games, but I'm so tired of sitting in mediocrity and just like hoping, hey, maybe things will break right and we'll compete for the division this year. Just one way or the other, take a shot in the dark, but don't be safe, because safe in Detroit is 8-8, and that's never going to win. You know, take a risk, take a flyer, because if you don't, this is what we're getting. So I hate to say it, I think the Lions should move on from Matthew Stafford. I know you're going to have to eat the cap hit, but eat the cap hit. Take a shot at Tua. Maybe Burrow falls because he wants to, you know, play the whole leverage card. Maybe Chase Young's there. If Chase Young's there, that's a different story. But as it pertains to, is Matthew Stafford the guy? I think Matthew Stafford is absolutely capable of being the guy. Just not here. I love the Lions, but we are inept. And he deserves better. And Detroit deserves someone who can carry the load entirely, because really that's what it'll take. And Detroit news for baseball, it's more so, I usually defer to Rob in this regard. Don't know a whole lot about baseball, but spring training's ramping up. He sent me a link today where it had Detroit's farm system at number 2 for pitching. You got Mize and Franklin Perez, Scooball, a few of those guys coming up, Manning. That'll be good. I'm excited personally for Toronto. Things to kick, you know, the first pitch to get thrown this weekend's gonna be really fun. You know, got some time this weekend, turn it on. Throw on some spring training, maybe we can finally talk about a little baseball that's not cheating. Which we're going to. That's all you're going to hear about for the first 160 games of the year. Hopefully the Astros are out of the playoffs, so we don't even have to talk about it. But still a pretty talented team. I wouldn't be surprised if you see them in the AL squeaking in a wild card or something. I really wouldn't. They could very well still win that division. There's still some guys there, which is what's so frustrating. They're so talented. They didn't really need to be doing this, but here we are. Here's what we're going to have to talk about for the whole year. Play a lot of fantasy sports, personally. I think in baseball this year, if you're looking at one guy, maybe to take a later round flyer on, they could really swing things for you. I know he's coming off an injury for a pitcher, Mike Clevinger. high K rate guy, you know, a guy who's constantly ascended through the years. This could be a Cy Young level season if he gets back in time healthy and can really get the innings needed to be capable of winning that award. I think he's fantastic. I think he's got a lot of personality. He's really fun and a player to watch. A hitter for me, a little bit of a bias. I think Bo Bichette, another guy coming off his first year, showing he can prove in the big leagues, hits for average, has capable pop from a shortstop position. Shortstop isn't really loaded with offensive talent, so take that while you can get it. I really do think that he's a really talented player. I think that baseball is in good shape for the year. We're finally talking about baseball before first pitch of the year, which is pretty cool for all the wrong reasons. Don't get me wrong, but baseball is where I, you know, my bread was buttered throughout high school, where I've really loved it. So I love that it's in the national spotlight. I just wish that it was under better circumstances. However, get ready for another long season in Detroit. The Mitten's going to have a long few seasons in every regard, I think. But, I mean, really, summertime in Detroit is hard this year. I mean, we'll be lucky to break 75 wins, which is just tough. So if you want to slip across the Windsor, you know, over to Windsor in Ontario, keep on going to Toronto, you'll find some more exciting baseball over there. So don't want to push you out of Michigan for your love, but, you know, go get some exciting baseball. Maybe they won't win, you know, 30 more games than the Tigers, but they're going to be more competitive. They're going to be fun. Basketball, Detroit, the state of Detroit basketball. We have no more Andre Drummond, no more Reggie Jackson. An era is officially over. How do you remedy that? How do you get rid of those sadnesses? You play Sekou until his legs fall off. You just let him run. You let the young guys develop. Dwayne Casey's got his job cut out for him for the rest of the year because there's no Blake Griffin. Going to develop a lot of young kids. For the casual basketball fans, Sekou's probably not super exciting. However, his name is really funny. So you're kind of really hoping for like a Giannis Antetokounmpo effect where he just develops into this phenomenal French athlete that you just can't be stopped. Which I think that given his offensive skill set, his defensive length, in a few years you could really see Sekou be just phenomenal. I really do think that he has all the tools capable. His offensive game, he's a little bit of a struggle right now, but I really do think that in the long term, he's somebody that's exciting, somebody that could be really fun to watch. He gives Detroit basketball a little hope. That being said, we're going to have some ping pong balls fall the right way in the next few years. Blake Griffin's contract's going to have to come off the books. I love you, Blake, but man, it's going to be a tough stretch for Detroit basketball. But this is good because, again, this is kind of going back to the Lions thing. We couldn't be complacent getting the eighth seed in the playoffs, getting swept in the first round anymore. That's not it. If you're like a team, like look at, you know, Zion with the Pelicans. Yeah, they lost a lot of games to get these players, but look at them now. I mean, you watch, you know, the Pelicans or the Grizzlies who got Zion and Morant. Now these teams are instantly competing for a playoff spot again, but they have, not only are they still in a position to compete for that eighth seed in the playoffs, but they're only trending upward because you get these young guys, then you get, they're more marketable. Now guys want to come play with these young guys who are exciting. I think that that's the way to do it. And I know it sucks because how do you sell losing to a franchise, especially because people who don't understand the analytics of sports, how do you say the best way to win games is to lose games in the short term to win games in the long term? That's a really hard thing to stomach, but that's how Detroit has to start. And I mean, if you're going to lose games regardless right now, why not do it and realize there's light at the end of the tunnel? Just rip the Band-Aid off. Don't just cake Neosporin on it. Like, let's go. Let's rip it off. Let's go. Let's make it happen now. So lose some games. Maybe this year ping pong balls fall right. Personally, I don't like the big the big centers anymore. So I know that like guys will be clamoring for the Wiseman guy. That's just not the way the NBA is played. You need guys, you can see like with Drummond, that's just not how you're gonna win the NBA today. So you need really athletic wings and shooters. So like maybe look at a kid, and I know it's crazy to say, but like LaMelo Ball, he can really stretch the floor. Not a lot of big time names out there this year, so you're gonna have to really get your picks right. But I know that it's going to be a long process starting off right now, but we have to see the guys like Christian Wood develop, Sekou develop, and things are going to be okay. Dwayne Casey, jury's still out on you as a coach. I really don't know because you see Toronto being successful with him still after he's gone, even after he did win Coach of the Year. So if he's the guy to lead it, the rebuild, I don't know. We'll see. The other big piece of coaching news in the NBA today, John Boeheim stepped down after not even, I think, 40 full games of being a coach. And I don't know if it's just like if you had any association with the state of Michigan within the past 5 years that you're just perennially going to lose. But he was obviously the coach of Michigan, out after only 40 games. Didn't translate to the NBA. Maybe don't call your players thugs. Maybe just don't try to treat professional athletes like children. And I don't know. I think the college game welcomes them back just fine. But my goodness, if you have any association with the state of Michigan, it just really makes you wonder like what's going to happen for you. Like, I really feel sad for us as a state, and I don't mean this for this podcast to come off so negative, but man, I don't know what it's going to take. If we need to make some sort of like eternal sacrifice, like as a state of Michigan, like we'll sacrifice. And we already gave up Toledo to Ohio. I mean, do you need a little bit more? Do you want Ann Arbor? We'll give you Ann Arbor. Like, just let the state line come up. I mean, we'll slowly, if the manifest destiny for Michigan's sports teams to be good is to take Ohio and stretch it up to Detroit, and anything south of that's Ohio. If I have to sacrifice the lowermost portion of Michigan to make that happen, I will. I'll do whatever it takes. You can take my finger. I mean, I just want a championship. And I know I had the Pistons in 03, but I wasn't really old enough for that, so I'm hungry again. If it takes my pinky, I've given up tattoos on Twitter. I've offered up tattoos just for 30-point games. I'm not even going for championships. I'm offering permanent markings on my body for 30-point games out of forwards on the Pistons basketball team on a random Monday in February. I'm dedicated. I'm ready for Michigan to have successful sports teams. What's it going to take? I'm ready. The only bit of success I've had in the last week as a Michigan sports fan, the Red Wings completed a big comeback against the Canadiens last night. And there's hockey. I love the hockey. Last thing on basketball, I actually have a pickup game tonight. And it's funny, for our loyal brand listeners, I mean, maybe there's, you know, all of millions of you. I'm just kind of curious, like, what's your pickup game like? Me, personally, I'm going to play a little pickup basketball tonight. I like to handle the ball. Cannot shoot. I mean, no one's picking me up from half court. I mean, you're probably not picking me up until I'm at the free throw line. And even then, you're like, well, he's got no left. So as long as you don't let him, you know, lay it up from a foot away, you're probably pretty safe. So me personally, like, I like to give yourself the pro, you know, the pro analytics. I like the Ricky Rubio game. Dish it off. Try not to shoot too much, you know, be a little active on defense. But, man, pick up hoops when you're 5'8", short, not super athletic. I mean, it's a struggle. So you better handle the ball. You better look the part. They'll be able to handle the rock, because if you can't shoot it and you aren't jumping out of the gym, you better be a real team first guy. Call out screens, hustle, sweating, because otherwise you are in trouble. But it's fun. Get a good run out, you know, living out past dreams. Didn't play high school ball, so still got to keep athletic somehow. And the last thing, kind of like just wanted to talk about life a little bit again. I know we talked about four-year mental health and stuff. I want to keep that at the forefront. I saw Jared Karabas from Barstool starting 9. He was talking about mental health, just making sure. Marshawn Lynch, shout out. Mind your chickens, you know, keep everything right with you. That was pertaining more about your health physically, but that pertains to your mental health too. Like, I just want to make sure, you know, life can get pretty cyclical. I think we're all just kind of playing to our addictions every single day. I think all of us have things that we do that we need to do to make ourselves happy, whether that's, I mean, maybe you have a couple drinks every day. Maybe you go to work, come home. I mean, we all have our toxic traits too, but just do the things that make you happy. For me, that happens to be talking sports with folks, going out, getting a little sports, you know, getting a little run, playing basketball tonight, doing things, light a candle, that helps. You got to really find the joy in the little things, because life can really humble you every day. I mean, there's events that happen for me today, every day, that just, it makes you stop and think, like, yeah, this is really short. So if this is something you want to do, like me, I like to make the sports content. I like to talk about things. It's important to me. So just do the things you enjoy. If you ever need anything to reach out, continue to do so, whether that's your family, your friends, just be that person too. Do whatever it takes. Just be available to everybody. Just do whatever makes you happy, because at the end of the day, what else do you have? And everything can be really sudden, and life happens quick. So whatever you need to do, me, I'm going to keep ripping off these pods, these little tangents, these little throwaways at you. So my soiree into the solo work, I am the Beyonce of Northeast Michigan sports talk. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again. Hopefully we get Rob back. Hopefully we get some guests for you. But that's why Detroit sports are the way they are, and that's why you should be excited about it moving forward. Thanks, guys.